5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
The big news today in the World's Game, Barcelona booking their place in the Champions League final in Berlin. 5-3 aggregate over Bayern Munich today, despite the loss at the Allianz Arena, 3-2. Barcelona winning the first leg, 3-0 at Camp Nou, and after a huge performance from Lionel Messi in that game. The return game, well, kind of got off to a good start for Bayern Munich. They scored, cut the deficit to 3-1 very quickly, brought a lot of hope back to the Allianz Arena, but that hope quickly turned into what was realization that to chase the game and a 3-0 first leg result with the likes of Neymar, Lionel Messi, and Luis Suarez is pretty much insurmountable. And that's really what was proven out today. And by the way, those three are playing together. They are a three-headed monster, Barcelona, with Neymar, Luis Suarez, and Lionel Messi. I want your thoughts tonight on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Giving a lot of tickets away. Thank you for tuning in, as always, and thank you for making soccer incredibly relevant on the radio here in Houston, Texas. We got a lot to get after tonight, leading with the Champions League. So if you did see the Champions League, I want your thoughts. Will anybody stop Barcelona? Also, like your thoughts on tomorrow's Juventus-Real Madrid second leg in the Bernabeu. So we will talk about that as well. By the way, a good place to watch the games tomorrow, either Bayern Munich in Midtown or over at the Gorgeous Gael over in West University. So, I also want to say happy Mother's Day, because missed out on that. Show number tonight, 713-780-3776, Internet Highway. It's ESPN975.com. It is where you can also get the podcast of the show. Click on the audio vault and click Soccer Matters. You can get both Soccer Matters and Dynamo All Access shows there. You can also download the podcast at iTunes as well. So you can listen on your time. Again, bring me your opinion tonight. The number 713-780-3776. We'll have the Bayern Munich Goal of the Week on tap. Tonight's game on for 90. And I will talk a little bit about our subject, one Dwayne De Rosario. If you have your favorite Dwayne De Rosario moment with the Houston Dynamo or San Jose or any team for that matter, Dwayne De Rosario announcing on Instagram that he is retiring, clearly. I said top five in the history of the league. He may be number two behind Landon Donovan. And that would not be an argument that I would not accept or debate. I've got tickets to give away here tonight. Mexico, Honduras, Houston Dash. You country music lovers, Kenny Chesney tickets here tonight. Did you ever think soccer and country music would cross over? It certainly does. I like country music. No doubt about it. So Kenny Chesney tickets, that'll be the biggest concert in the history of BBVA Compass Stadium. Robbie Earl, the NBC analyst, played in the Premier League, represented Jamaica. He will be on the show tonight. Shannon Box of the U.S. Women's National Team. She's 37 years of age. She's a mother. She's battling lupus. And she will be a part of the U.S. Women's National Team in a very specialized role. It's not an interview you're going to want to miss tonight. Very human story here with Shannon Box. Diego Valeri. We're going to get the Portland Timbers midfielder on this program here tonight. We will hear from Caleb Porter, the head coach, tomorrow. So much going on over on Dynamo All Access as well. So get after it tonight, 713-780. What's on your soccer mind? 713-780-3776. What is your foremost thought in the world of soccer? We've got the Champions League. We got promotion and relegation in England. We've got Mexican League playoffs set. Will you be glued to that on the weekend? We got the Portland Timbers coming in here to take on the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo coming off a wonderful victory in Toronto. And clearly, when they play Toronto FC, it's a game they pretty much dominated, controlled for 74 minutes. So the game was 2-1. Final minutes were a little bit shaky, especially the attention to detail. Defending set pieces, but the Dynamo get a huge win, 2-1 over Toronto FC. It was Toronto FC's home opener. Dynamo owned a Toronto FC midfield that included Michael Bradley, quite frankly. Owned it. Ball was lost. The Houston Dynamo got tremendous performances out of the likes of Luis Garrido. The Hondurans really on up there. Luis Garrido, Boniac Garcia, turning it on, scoring the first goal, stuffing in a rebound off a penalty. And then, of course, Alexander Lopez continuing to make strides under the manager, Owen Coyle. So, Champions League, Premier League, U.S. Women's National Team, all on tap here tonight, as well as tomorrow, Juventus and Real Madrid. I want your thoughts on that as well. Let's go to the phone lines again. 713-780-3776. I think it's, is it Ziad?
Yes, this is Zed.
Hey, Zed, how are you?
Pretty good. I have a question for you. Why do you keep saying that the Premier League is the best league out there if they can't make it to the semifinals of the Champions League? Outside of Chelsea, I don't see any teams that would compete with Real Madrid, Barcelona, even Juventus from Italy, or any of those teams. So what makes it, in your opinion, the best league out there?
Well, first of all, I don't say that. I think it is clearly the most popular league in the world. I don't think there's any question. I think it's the league where most of the stars go, or a good portion of them. I don't think there's any question. Best league is subjective. If you're going based on Champions League results, then it's Spain because there's two Spanish teams in the Final Four. What also happens is whoever wins the Champions League, generally the media jumps on that and says, well, this is the best league in the world. Let's not forget. In recent times, there have been English teams that have won the Champions League, including Chelsea, including Manchester United. But I think right now in the European game, Premier League teams have had real struggles. I'm going to talk with Robbie Earle about that later on. I'm going to ask him that question, why he thinks the Premier League has struggled. I think tactically they've had some problems when it comes to playing against European teams. I think in some ways European teams that are a little bit more about managing and controlling games with the balls may gain an edge in these games. But it's all subjective. I think sometimes it gets clouded as well with the English national team. I think English nationals sometimes have the bar set so high for the English national team because they're equating the Premier League with the English national team, which is really ludicrous to do. So different criteria right now. If you want to say the winner of the Champions League then says that's your best league, I think what the Premier League does have, I think, without a doubt, over the Serie A, over the Spanish League, and over the German Bundesliga, is top-to-bottom competition. I think it's a little bit stronger. Right? You're not seeing 8-0 score lines like you do in Spain when Barcelona and Real Madrid play teams.
Would it be top to bottom because the top is lower towards the bottom or because the bottom is closer to the top? Because, I mean, in the Spanish league, you have Valencia, you have Atletico Madrid, who are competing with Barcelona, Real Madrid. even some smaller teams sometimes are keeping up, but it's basically down to four teams in Spain. And same way with England, I would assume, because with the Premier League, it's already done deal with it 2 weeks to go. So
again, I think it's subjective. I'm not disagreeing with anything you say. I'm just thinking that if we go back and we look at, you know, mid to lower end teams in the Premier League, they will have gotten more results during the year against some of the top Premier League teams. I just think on any given day, you know, even the lower end teams with fight, with spirit, with passion can make a difference. I can't always say that's the truth in Spain.
Oh, okay. So what do you think about the game tomorrow, Real Madrid or Juve?
I got to tell you, I know everybody's saying this is a walkover. Well, not a walkover, but Real Madrid. But I think this game sets up beautifully for Juventus. I think they're going to defend deep. They're going to dare Real Madrid to break them down. It's a little against their nature because they like the counterattacking game a little bit with Ronaldo to have room to run at people in space. And I don't think they're going to concede that. I think it's going to be a struggle. I'm not saying that Real Madrid can't win it, but you've got Carlos Tevez on the counterattack, potentially Pogba playing, which would be a boost. So I don't think by any means this is going to be easy. I have a feeling this is going to be a struggle. Likely for me, Real Madrid will pull it out. But Italian teams know how to defend. They know how to defend in numbers, and they're going to make it as difficult as possible for Real Madrid. And listen, if they were to hit an early road goal, my God, there'll be panic.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Bilal as we continue. What league is the best in the world? I guess it's pretty subjective. If you're going to give me a comment on it, you got to give me what your criteria is for it being the best league. So, Bilal, you're up. What's on your mind tonight, Bilal?
Hey, Glenn. Love the show. Well, I want to start. I agree the Premier League is the best. I'll say it's a more competitive league and the best league. And the reason for it is outside of the main ones, outside of Italy, you only have Juventus, who is actually competing for the title. For Germany, it's Bayern Munich. For the Dutch, it's Ajax. And for Spain, it's Real Madrid and Barcelona. Whereas in the English Premier League, you've had for a while, you know, four or five teams that are actively competing, and each one had a legitimate chance at winning the title.
Yeah, listen, I'm not disagreeing. I agree 100% that I think top to bottom the Premier League's the most competitive. But it all depends on what your criteria is. And we haven't even begun.
ESPN.
We haven't even begun to touch on style of play and purpose of play, which for many people, that's why they believe it's the best in the world. They may like the way the game is played in Spain. In England, it's a little bit more hectic. I don't think there's any question. In Spain, it's probably a little bit more razor-sharp technical. So it's really different strokes for different folks.
I would agree, and I would say that my criteria for it would be just point spread and the point differential between the top teams and the bottom teams. It's just far closer. They're packed in a lot more in the Premier League than they are in any other league. And then for that, there's just points are at a premium in every game. So it's just, you know, they can take you from first place to third really quickly, whereas the other leagues, you can afford to lose 2 to 3 games and still come out on top.
Yeah. Again, to me, subjective. I don't have a dog. I don't have a dog in the fight because I love all the leagues. I'm really looking forward to the Bundesliga getting more, you know, having a TV package on Fox in this country, because I want to see how the American fan reacts to that league once they get to know the players and have an ability to see it on a weekly basis, a regular basis. So that to me is going to be very interesting. That is a league based on the fan. I mean, their attendance is second to none. Germany, the environment you'll see on TV is going to be amazing. But it really is totally subjective.
It is, and I look forward to having the German league on a weekly basis. Their fans, I have to agree with you, their fans are just real fans. They are true to heart, diehard fans for their team.
Yeah, and I think they've done some amazing things in the Bundesliga when it comes to catering to the fan, which I think goes beyond any other professional soccer league in the world. They put the fan first in a variety of ways.
They do. They really do. I saw the – I can't again, it was the Borussia Dortmund, Bayern Munich, and when you see the fans of Dortmund just out in full color and just chanting, that's the experience that you'd like to see in every match.
Do you want to know? I also call games on television and have for many years. One of the greatest ever moments I had as a commentator was in Dortmund Stadium, U.S. national team playing against a German national team, sold out, freezing cold weather, people with beer, holding babies, just one of the most remarkable environments, I think, in all of soccer, that Dortmund Stadium, and you know, being over there and being able to experience the German fans up close and personal.
That's my next pilgrimage right there after Old Trafford at Dortmund Stadium for me.
That's a good one. There's no doubt about it. Anything else, Bilal?
No, I just want to say I love the show.
Thank you very much for your support, and you helped make the show. So Bilal weighing in there.
Thank you.
You can weigh in. Favorite league? Best league? Why is it the best? To me, it's subjective. This text coming from our good friend Sal Meath of Talking Foosball after the Bayern elimination by Barcelona here today. Barcelona will go to Berlin to play in the Champions League final. Here's what Sal says. He says, full of belief at the beginning. He's talking about Bayern Munich and euphoria at 1-0, which at that time cut the aggregate to 3-1. They got a very early goal, and you could see it and feel it in the stadium. Then he goes, at 2-1, acceptance came early. No frustration from the fans, no anger. I thought Bayern played their best, just not good enough. 3-0 hole against Neymar and company, tough to come back against. So there you have it. Weigh in on the Champions League here tonight. It was front and center today. Barcelona advancing. They came into this holding a 3-0 aggregate lead. I don't think there was any coming back from that. And here's the difficulty. If you're down 3-0 aggregate against a team that just may not have the weapons to hit you on the counter, you know you have to open your game up. You know you're going to have some good fortune that's going to be needed because you're going to leave yourself exposed. How do you leave yourself exposed to Lionel Messi, Neymar Jr., and Luis Suarez? Honestly, there's no way. And how do you deal with that three-pronged attack when those guys are all working together? We're now talking about Messi, Neymar, and Suarez as one. And who would have thought that? There's a ton of commentators eating crow who said it would never work. So I go directly to the manager, Luis Enrique. He has done something special. And maybe because of all the off-field problems from Luis Suarez, that tempered him a little bit. It's made him a good soldier, a good citizen. Tempered the ego. Messi, to me, has always had a control of his ego. I don't think there's any question. And I think Neymar Jr. got there and said, you know what? This is the best thing that could have happened in my career, playing around these guys. How much more mature does Neymar Jr. now look for Barcelona? And can anybody stop them? You tell me. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Can anybody stop Barcelona? No matter who wins tomorrow between Real Madrid and Juventus, can they stop Barcelona? 713-780-3776 is the number. Take your thoughts on the Dynamo win in Toronto. Dynamo fan, where are you tonight? It is a doubleheader. Friday night, you've got the Houston Dash taking on Chicago. 7:30 kickoff. Then Saturday night, BBVA Compass Stadium, going to be a busy place. Saturday night, it'll be the Dynamo in Portland. Diego Valeri, the attacking creative midfielder for Portland, is back. Scored a game-winning goal against Montreal in Montreal. He is back. He will be here in Houston. He is worth the price of admission when it comes to what is on the opponent's team. Giles Barnes right now for the Houston Dynamo. Electric. He is worth the price of admission. Now, I know the nonsense is out there, is he the next? Look, he is on fire. He is building off a tremendous season last year. Let's not go over the top. But right now, this guy is in great form. I think if he puts together a full season, keeps this form going consistently, then we begin to talk about him amongst the top players from an attacking perspective in Major League Soccer. But he's got to do it for the whole year. I don't think there's any question, and he knows that. He's got to stay injury-free. 713-780-3776 is the number. The violins are out. The fat lady has sung. Bayern Munich is done. Barcelona has advanced to the Champions League final tomorrow. It will be Barcelona awaiting the winner of Real Madrid and, of course, Juventus. We'll continue with phone calls when we come back. Oscar, you're going to be up first. Right now, as we go to break here, just a quick reminder for Liberty Kitchen, one of my favorite restaurants in Houston, Liberty Kitchen in the Heights, Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe. Raw bar at Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette is phenomenal. You got the smoked salmon at Liberty Kitchen in the Heights. Fresh fish, oysters, gumbo, right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. They serve breakfast on the weekends. Take it from me. Liberty Kitchen and Liberty Kitchen Oysterette. LibertyKitchenOysterette.com. Get over there. Some of the best in food here in Houston, Texas. And we've had Travis Lenig, their head chef, up here as well. All right, we'll take more phone calls. 10th caller right now. We'll get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo and Chicago Red Stars. Excuse me, Houston Dash, Chicago Red Stars Friday night.
ESPN 97.5.
There is something to glean, though, from today, because they were scored on three times. And we have seen Barcelona uncomfortable when put under pressure at times and put under pressure for extended periods of time. The question is, how do you do that? It's not easy to do.
Well, and it also begs the question is, Barcelona is quite uncomfortable with teams that are a lot more physical with them, I've seen. So, if you play the finesse game with Barcelona, it's going to take you nowhere. You're going to lose. But a little bit of physicality from another team might change the table and might have to force Barcelona out of their comfort zone.
Well,
but that's something to be thought of.
But remember, every time somebody plays them, they say, let's get physical with them. Let's get close to them. Let's break their rhythm. Let's kick a few people. They seem to know how to deal with that quite well, I think. I don't think it's easy to execute what you're saying because of how quickly they think, how quickly the ball moves. And quite frankly, to say that guys like Messi, Suarez, and Neymar aren't physical might be, an untruthful statement. They are physical in their own way. Luis Suarez can take care of himself, by the way. The guy's built like a fire hydrant.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Oscar, great phone call. I do appreciate that. Let's go to Jeremy. Jeremy says that Real Madrid can stop Barcelona. Jeremy, you're up.
Hey, Glenn, love the show. Thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure.
I do believe that Real Madrid can stop Barcelona because they did it earlier this year in La Liga play. And with Barcelona is extremely vulnerable when it comes to set pieces, and Real Madrid's got Cristiano Ronaldo, who is an absolute master at these. And as well, they've also got a good forward attack in Karim Benzema, as well as Ronaldo and Gareth Bale, so they can keep putting pressure on them without completely opening themselves up. The only real thing that I see that could be a possible problem is the fact that Toni Kroos is hurt.
Yeah, that would be a big one because he steadies the midfield down. He does a great job of balancing things. His distribution is great, getting people into the game. He's the guy that's finding many times Cristiano Ronaldo on the break. But look, I don't think there's any question. You bring a great point up here because this is a rivalry. I'm kind of saying, can anybody stop Barcelona based on current form? And until we see Real Madrid against Juventus tomorrow, maybe it's a question that doesn't have an answer yet. But I just look at those three guys up front, and I even look at it today in the context of Bayern Munich trying to climb back into this thing, which for a few brief moments, there was possibility there when they scored early. But to see those three guys, I mean, in this game, all they needed to do was attack with those three. I mean, it's just mind-boggling the ability that is up front. And really, it's how do you contain them? And then once, if you do take a slight edge off them, you got to pray and hope they have an off day, which doesn't happen very often, not with all three of them at once. And we're speaking about these guys as one now. We're speaking about not just Messi and Barcelona. We're speaking Messi, Suarez, and Neymar Jr., and we're doing it at once. It's a complete package. They're playing together. They have understood that they're the sum of parts that are going to be greater than one individual. Look at how it has matured and sort of cut this raw diamond that was Neymar now into a more mature, sophisticated player in my mindset.
Yeah, and that's completely true. But even so, I still look at Real Madrid as they're the ones that could really stop them if they can get by Juventus and get rid of the deficit that they're in. And going to your point about Bayern Munich today, Bayern Munich, they were also coming from a position of, well, we're down 3-0. We've got to get a bunch of goals. We've really got to push. But that is going to leave them open to a counterattack from the big three-pronged attack that Barcelona has. And I'll go ahead and hang up with them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, like I said, I think it's a big ask without Ribery, without Robin, chasing a three-goal deficit. And you might argue that Pep Guardiola made a huge mistake trying to get a road goal and get a third, you know, make it a 2-1 game at Barcelona in the first leg. And you know, who knows? At 2-1 after scoring the first goal here today, is there a different feel? Better team advanced. I don't think there's any question. And, you know, the manager, Luis Enrique, he's been talking about a number of things. He thinks they can do the treble. Despite the fact they lost 3-2 to Bayern today at the Allianz Arena, they advance. They will be in the final in Berlin. They will play the winner of Juventus and Real Madrid tomorrow. Brian, what do you have, Brian?
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with the last caller, Glenn.
Go for it.
I know Cristiano Ronaldo obviously is a great set-piece taker, but he likes to shoot. I actually think that Juventus matches up better with Barca, you know, just because Madrid beat Barca earlier in the league. You know, they're playing on their home turf. I think that the crowds, especially in La Liga, it seems like when I watch games on TV, that the crowd influences referees perhaps more in La Liga than they would at a neutral site, you know, like the Champions League final is going to be. You want to talk about masters of set pieces, Andrea Pirlo, I mean, he's a magician.
Well, let's you've just led me beautifully into tomorrow. It's Juventus of Italy, runaway winners of the Serie A, second leg. They have a 2-1 advantage, and they're going to play Real Madrid at Real Madrid. And we all know they are going to, as great Italian teams do, try to suffocate and kill off any space behind them. They're going to try to keep the game in front of them. It's going to be very difficult for Real Madrid to get behind them. And as we all know, Real Madrid, to a degree, is a team that likes to invite people in themselves and then break out through the likes of this unbelievable athletic ability and skill of Ronaldo and Gareth Bale.
And Barca, too, for that matter.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're looking at tomorrow, in a way, you have Real Madrid kind of going against their nature, which is they got to take the game to Juventus. They got to take the game to an Italian team who's sitting back, who's got a great goalkeeper in Luigi Buffon. They're masters at this type of soccer. They've done it before. They're not going to be overawed in the stadium. And they do have a counterattack capability with Carlos Tevez. So this is going to be fascinating tomorrow. I actually am more interested in tomorrow's game than I was in today's because I thought this was over with Barcelona.
I called in a few weeks ago and said that I was actually more intrigued by the Madrid-Juve matchup than the Bayern-Barcelona matchup. And, you know, kind of the cherry on top of the cake for me for tomorrow, Juventus played so well in the previous leg, they're getting Paul Pogba back now. I think that that's going to be a huge lift for them.
Psychologically, I don't think there's any question that one player coming back, you know, it all depends on how fit he really is, and I'm sure we don't know that. The press doesn't know that.
Oh, he scored an absolute cracker over the weekend. If you haven't seen it, YouTube,
okay,
it was pretty jaw-dropping.
Then he is fit, and that will be a major boost, and that will be a major boost tactically on the counterattack as well.
Well, continuing with the Champions League, but transitioning a little bit, I'm finding it a little disappointing, if that's the correct word, that it seems like, you know, they being the media, build up these titanic clashes, but they seem to happen every year. I mean, it's the same Final Four last year, except Juve instead of Atletico. And it just seems like it's the same clubs over and over again, which brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about is the financial fair play. It seems like City...
I don't know if we
started to implement these restrictions, and now they're going to be making Champions League money, so there's nothing that they can do about it. But teams like Monaco, they came in at the wrong time, so to speak, and they're not able to, you know, replicate the model that those other teams did. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, is financial fair play actually helping or hurting the game?
It's a really, really good question. I'm not sure I can answer it. This was something, you know, UEFA came up with this thing called the Financial Fair Play Regulations. This was in September of 2009. This was put together to prevent teams from spending more than they earn, quite frankly, which a lot of them were doing. It was to negate potential future financial problems. There's budgetary frames. There's clubs who exceed spending over several reasons or several seasons, excuse me. So it you know, it's amazing how many of these soccer clubs are supposedly losing money. And it's a trend that they wanted to stop. That's basically kind of how I saw it.
Right. They don't want a repeat of Leeds United and everything.
Right. I mean, which was a historic soccer club, you know, Peter Lorimer. I mean, you go back to Leeds and things like this happen. So a lot of the big teams did support it. But like a lot of the big teams do, they're trying to find ways to skirt around it as well.
See, but I think it's interesting as well, because to me, if an owner doesn't mind pouring in his own fortune to strengthen the team, whether they're in, you know, the top division in their country or otherwise, I don't have a problem with that. If it's his money that's being lost, you know, that's his choice. You know, you look at a team like QPR, and there's question if they're even going to be able to play in the championship or League One or League Two unless they pay this, you know, pretty outrageous fine. So I don't know.
Nino's yes,
and you know, Cruyff and some of the big names in, you know, both the ASL and ASL and USL. So we, you know, Watson. I remember he was the English national team. We played against him in the final. Mm-hmm. I think Nino Cabillas. So it was really exciting, and we were playing, you know, really for the love of the sport. We were just making enough to, you know, have an apartment and a car was about the level, and we were thankful for that, I guess, at that time.
And you also, you were also a young married man. I mean, I remember myself back in those days. There's no way I could have handled. I don't think my maturity curve, Mike, as you remember me, was quite on the level of yours at that time. These were not easy times, but on the other hand, they were very fruitful. I mean, their experiences, I say to myself, I would never want to trade.
All right. I mean, you know, priceless experiences, you know, some of those road games we had and, 90-degree weather up in Dallas or in Oklahoma, and you know, we come out with a win at the very last minute, or a shootout win down in Fort Lauderdale in the sun. I still to this day think that that flag went down first before John Lignos scooted around me and shot that goal, but that's another matter.
And don't forget, remember Les Shkreli, our Yugoslavian player, had scored the winner, and we were kind of running on the field because we thought we had won the title, and then it was waved off.
Right, I remember that. Yeah. Lesh was a great friend of mine, and we shared common Yugoslavian heritage, but he was you know, quite an indoor player and quite an outdoor player. And, yeah, we had thought that, but, you know, I guess that's part of the fun. We didn't have, you know, instant replay or goal line technology, but it was just really about the love of the game and the competitiveness and the ability that we wanted to, you know, play in Europe. We wanted to play against the best, and you know, we did well. We I believe we tied Guadalajara and was it Ireland?
Yeah, we played Glentoran, Sheffield United. Yeah, we had a lot of international games down here, which were pretty amazing. That I don't think people realize, you know, Phil Thompson was playing for the famous Liverpool player for Sheffield United when they came here in front of a couple of thousand people in 90-degree heat in a high school stadium. It's kind of amazing stuff. When you were a young man, how did you get into goalkeeping?
Good question. I started out playing on the field. We had some English gentlemen that started the Rose Tree Soccer Club, and I mostly played on the field until I was 15. I saw some films, some European films of goalkeepers like Gordon Banks flying through the air, making the diving save, and that just, I don't know, somehow attracted to me their position, and I just kind of took to it after that and kept pursuing it.
Well, I can always remember playing in front of Mike Barbrick was a very comforting thing. I also, at times, was a little worried I might have my head taken off by you, and I think you might have been responsible for cracking me a couple times across the head. But, boy, you were a good goalkeeper off your line. You were a great guy to play with. We had some wonderful times here in Houston. And, Mike, thank you for coming on the show. And once we sew up this event, we'll look forward to welcome you back to Houston.
Well, thank you, Glenn. And, you know, coming right back at you because I remember what a great job in the air you did. And it's been my goal to make my job easier. And we had certainly had some good times. And I look forward to coming back down there for a reunion and seeing some of my old teammates.
Mike, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. And look forward to talking to you in the future.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
ESPN 97.5.